You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The elephant in the room. Or, can the Force really be with you? The Martial Brain podcast series deals with what I perceive to be the intersection between martial arts, scientific skepticism, and brain science. I have so far recorded over a dozen of them on various topics. With this particular one, I will finally get around to the elephant in the room when it comes to martial skepticism.
Chi power.
Recently, on Facebook, I saw a video of a martial artist from Finland named Jukka Lampila, who called his style empty force, or IFO, and claimed that with IFO he could control an attacker without touching him. The video begins with clips of Mr. Lampila fending off attacks from his students. As they approach, he waves his arms, sometimes he twitches, sometimes he stays absolutely still, and in each case the attacker seems to be magically thrown to the mat without being physically touched by Mr. Lampila. He also shows an example of controlling someone on the ground. He kneels calmly on the mat next to a supine student with the back of his hand resting gently on the student's chest. "I don't need to use any energy," he asserts, as the student appears to try with all his might to regain his feet, to no avail. It is a sad display of martial arts charlatanism. Unfortunately for Mr. Lampila, a group of skeptics were in attendance this day, and several of them volunteered to be controlled by Mr. Lampila. His chosen method was to have the volunteer try to push him. He failed in every case to stop them from doing so. The skeptics were admirably polite, giving Mr. Lampila an ample number of opportunities to prove his claims and not demonstrably gloating at his failures. When one of them calmly asked if he would like to demonstrate his defense against a punching attack, Mr. Lampila declined. He later invited everyone to pay for and attend his seminar the next day. "I've been involved in the martial arts since 1971. I've been teaching the martial arts since 1975. In this time, and long before I became aware of formal scientific skepticism, I grew to see that many people are drawn to martial arts styles that are based on pseudoscience. The arts that are the biggest culprits, by far, are the arts that base their claims of effectiveness on the development and manipulation of a purported form of internal energy. Whether you call it chi, ki, prana, the force, or empty force, it has never, to my knowledge, been proven to exist through robust, double-blind, replicated scientific experiments. If it is a form of energy, where are the scientific instruments that can detect its levels? Is this energy chemical, radiant, nuclear, kinetic, electromagnetic, mechanical, ionizing? Is this energy in the form of waves or particles? At the risk of building a straw man, I'm going to go way out on a limb here and guess that practitioners and apologists for these arts would assert that science doesn't know everything, and that chi power is as yet unexplained by science. Well, if there is a known, plausible form of energy that is unproven by science, wouldn't it follow that a large number of physicists would be climbing all over one another in an attempt to win a Nobel Prize by proving its existence? In the last 45 years, I've seen many demonstrations by people who claim to wield this power. In the early days of my martial arts career, I too was fooled by some of them. As time went on, I was even taught how to do some of the tricks purporting to demonstrate chi. Newsflash. They were simple tricks. Sad carnival sideshow tricks. Easily explained without resorting to magic or chi power. This was part of the beginning of my own journey as a skeptical martial artist. The more I began to realize how these tricks worked, the more disgusted I became. In the time since, I have yet to be impressed by further demonstrations. Based on my experience, the sad, feckless display by Mr. Lampila is typical. I assert that on the rare occasions when these practitioners manage to successfully defend themselves, it is because they properly applied principles of leverage and body mechanics, whether they realized it or not, and not because they wielded some magical power. This phenomenon raises further questions. First, what possesses people to train in such a system of martial arts? Second, what is in the minds of people who already train in such systems and continue to do so after seeing their master embarrassed, as was Mr. Lampila in the video? As for what draws people in the first place, I will cite what scientific skepticism has taught me. Life as a human in modern times is complex. A trait of humans is that we tend to be put off by nuance and complexity, and to seek simple answers. Perhaps this stems from an early genetic history as prey animals. In such an environment, time spent on deeply rational thinking can get you killed. Quick and dirty heuristics are survival mechanisms. Perhaps we have an instinct to seek out simplicity. Maybe this is why we are more easily swayed by emotional stories than by logic and hard data. Whatever the origin of our propensity to seek out simple answers to complex questions, it can make us prone to magical thinking and render us easy prey for con men and charlatans. Lots of us are put off by the daunting challenges of extensive training in a practical martial arts program. It is a lot of hard work. It's time-consuming. And it usually costs money. It would be so much easier if one could avoid the grueling exercise, setbacks, and occasional injuries, and simply cultivate one's potent internal energy. It's also frequently the case that some people wish to learn self-defense, but have a profound sense of revulsion regarding violence. Unfortunately, these sweet-natured people are usually powerfully drawn by the lure of a martial arts style that claims to be both effective and humane through the use of chi. I have a soft spot in my heart for these folks, and I deeply respect their pacifism. As a result, I am especially angered when they fall prey to arrogant, condescending, cynical con artists who serenely take their money while harboring secret contempt for their foolishness. The best way to be able to defend yourself while trying not to harm your attacker is to train hard in a practical martial arts style until you reach a reasonable level of competence. There is a small but dangerous fraction of humanity who are predators, and they look at you as belonging to one of two groups. You are either a potential danger, and thus to be avoided, or you are prey. They think it's humorous that you don't want to hurt them, and delight in the fact that your compassion makes you easy prey. A person who is not able to competently defend themselves can no more claim to be a pacifist than a eunuch can claim to be a celibate. As for explaining what keeps people already training in these styles in the face of a lack of evidence, there are parallels in other forms of pseudoscience. Whether it's faith healing, alternative medicine, astrology, or any other form of what James Randi, one of the leading lights in skepticism, refers to as woo, there are two types of followers. The first is the true believers, who have so much of themselves invested in whatever their belief is that they engage in cognitive dissonance and turn a blind eye to evidence, because their very sense of identity has become dependent on their belief being true. Humans are lamentably prone to profound self-deception. Many people take up martial arts for reasons other than self-defense. A very common motivation, whether at the conscious level or not, is that it can make you feel better about yourself. Some people have a trait that psychology calls the fantasy-prone personality. For those with FPP, a martial art based on magic seems a perfect fit, engaging the fascination with the supernatural while building up the student's self-image. The second type of follower is the apprentice con artist, who understands the game, sees the adulation, money, and power over other people that the master enjoys, and is paying dues in the hopes of becoming his or her successor. It's worth pointing out that martial arts masters pushing this dangerous nonsense also fall into these categories of true believers and cynical con artists as well. What to do about martial arts con artists? I'm not fond of government regulation. There are too many disparate styles of martial arts to make that work. I think the best way to deal with them is to shine the actinic light of scientific skepticism on them. Sunlight is the best disinfectant. Don't be put off by failures in this regard. Human nature will always yield a steady supply of victims for pseudoscientific predators, as well, unfortunately, as a steady supply of predators. Like practitioners of alternative medicine, the pushers of pseudoscientific martial arts are unencumbered by the rigor of valid logic and the scientific method. Battling these people is like brushing your teeth or mowing the lawn. You never permanently finish the job, but you keep doing it anyway. The martial arts is serious business. People are trying to learn to defend their lives. It's bad enough that con men and con women take your money, but to leave you believing that you are competent at self-defense when you most decidedly are not is egregious and unforgivable. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.